Hey, it's the Shroud, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 85? Is that correct? Did we update the run sheet on that, boys?
I don't know. You've kind of thrown me off with episode rather than edition, so you've already started this show off kind of weird.
I'm sorry. It is. It is episode 85. Let's restack. Episode 85 of The Center Ring coming at you live.
Yep.
Pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. We are professional broadcasters. We have what I think is the best episode ever. We put a lot of heart, sweat, and tears into this one for you, the listener, and I hope you enjoy. If you do, let us know on Twitter at The Center Ring or on our website, tcr.gg. You can find all the past episodes there. And a little contact us and all of our other social media outlets, like Twitter, Discord, we're always on there. Got a little group there. You can always join in on the conversation. We would love to hear from you. I am your host, one of them. My name is Tim. Hello. Alongside me, we got our brown friend, Anuj.
What up, fellas?
What's up?
Oh, you know, living the life, man. A lot happened this weekend.
A lot, man. Busy. Busy weekend. So busy, I forgot to upload last episode on YouTube. So, my bad. And then we also have our white friend, Brett.
Hi, guys.
If I just said your names, do you think the listeners could guess which one was brown and which one was white?
Definitely not.
What if a curveball and a Nuge is the white one? Wouldn't be able to tell by the voice, that's for sure.
Damn straight. Keep it that way. Throw you guys off.
So we mentioned it was a busy weekend. Well, you had ESL Pro League ramping up. Just a lot of Counter-Strike, right? Originally, we were just going to discuss ESL Pro League wrapping up, but at the same time, a lot of Counter-Strike news broke and just things to discuss. So I want to just kind of do a Counter-Strike grab bag, if you will. And we were at CWL Dallas. And that's what we're going to start the show off here. CWL, which is the Call of Duty World League, for all of you who don't know, that actually started up this past weekend for their new league, their new season with Call of Duty World War II. The boots on the ground. Boots are back on the ground, gentlemen. And let me tell you what, you would definitely know if you were there, because it is everywhere. That little cliche that I love oh so much. So if you are a longtime listener of the podcast, or maybe if you're new, I'll just let you know. We really never discussed Call of Duty before. Never got into Infinity Warfare, and even Advanced Warfare, just, we never got into it, right?
Well, the COD games that were going on.
Partly their fault. But
yeah, and the COD games that have been happening since the show's inception, or at least with us three, not the inception, but since with us three, it was in a COD series that we didn't play, you know, and didn't enjoy, so hard to cover something you don't follow at all.
This is true, but we actually do really enjoy Call of Duty World War II, playing it and watching it. It's just a lot more enjoyable experience, so we're going to talk about that some more just throughout the year, throughout tournaments. We'll bring up Call of Duty more so. And listen, all right, I get it. It's on a console, okay? I'm not here to try to convince you that a console is superior to PC, because I'm PC Master Race for life, all right? I plebbed down to play Call of Duty on the console, but that's what we get, and it is, I've said it before, whether it be on a console, whether it be on a PC, whether it's on a tablet, I don't care. It's all esports at the end of the day, and it's all, if I'm watching the top level of competition, I really don't care the platform. To me, it makes no difference what it's on. I don't think that takes away anything from what the pros do, because you can make fun of those Counter or Call of Duty pros all you want, but if you go toe-to-toe with them, I promise you they're beating you.
They're awesome. I mean,
I promise you.
You watch them in person, it's just like, wow, some of the shots they pull off. Like,
I mean, you can't even tell if it's on console or not. That's kind of my point, right? If someone with mouse and keyboard went up against them, I would probably say the pros would take, you know, probably put up a good fight. I would love to see kind of if you took the top PC Call of Duty players versus a console team, and just to see, just out of there,
like a console COD team or a console like any.
Take Optic Gaming versus a functional PC COD team.
The pros. I mean, they hit amazing shots. Like that's what I'm saying.
Like
between...
you can give them the best PC players versus the best console players, just to see. I don't know. Maybe this point is mute and console would get obliterated, but I don't know.
Well, console, the best players are all hackers, so until they fix the game on console, you're probably not going to find too many people that are actually playing it.
That's right. So I want to discuss some of our highlights of the tournament, everything like here. I mean, I'll go down. Let's start with our traditional who won, who lost kind of bit. And then I want to just talk about our experience on the weekend and how it all started. For the first tournament of the year, okay, there was a lot of, I think, upsets or surprises. I mean, the fact that FaZe got top four, right? FaZe was a group that wasn't even expected to get into top 12, let alone getting into the top four. And they ended up coming all the way through the open bracket. So let that sink in. FaZe was almost a Cinderella story.
Yeah, they were in an open bracket with 160, 180 some odd teams and had to work their way through that just to get top 16 to get on the stage, right? So they were playing so bad online and people just didn't have any faith in the team. Attach really, you know, he played out of his mind at this tournament, but all those guys, Replay, Zuma, they played really, really well and looked like the FaZe team that I think people are used to seeing, you know, in COD, considering that's where their home is and where they've grown. So yeah, I mean, it was an impressive run by them for sure.
One run that I don't think was impressive, and I think it was just kind of a disappointment across the board, was E United finishing fifth and sixth with Echo Fox there. They looked rough. I felt like throughout the entire tournament, from what we watched, because they were on the main stage a lot. So if you watched stream A or if you were in the event, you saw E United throughout the weekend. They felt like they were out of sync with each other. Like they would make the weirdest pushes when it wouldn't make sense. Now,
they lost only back-to-back games at the end, though, right? Like they had won everything prior to that. And then lost, went into the loser's bracket, and then lost again.
But even so then, the games really they good won, they, point, they had certain a rough decisions.
Sunday. Yeah,
yeah, they definitely had, they a, had rough a rough Sunday. Sunday. I mean, they lost to TK.
Oh, yeah, back-to-back losses that day, right?
Yeah, they lost to TK, which would eventually go on to win the tournament. So, okay, I mean, don't hang your head low on that one. You lost to the champions. But, man, TK tried doing everything they could. Team Caliber tried to lose the semifinals against E United. It was on... what map was it on? Ardenis Forest. It was on Ardenis Forest, Capture the Flag, where Clayster took the flag, was running it all the way back along the side by Ruins. So running along the bottom side of the map. Team Caliber threw everything in the kitchen sink at him to try to blow him up. They were dropping score streaks. They dropped a mortar. They were dropping artillery strikes. Everything.
On the right. And they were dropping in the middle of the map instead of on the point.
Dude, Team Caliber screwed that up so bad. Like, at that very moment in my head, I was like, and they're done. Like, how do you screw that up? They were, so it was like, he was on the steps inside of Ruins, and they put an artillery strike basically when he was there. They never led him with it. Yeah. It's like, bro, you have an artillery
everything
strike.
Was behind.
Those last, 6 to 7 seconds, just put that in between. Like, there's a gap. Basically, when you get out of Ruins and going into that bunker area, there's a gap where I'm pretty sure an artillery strike would cover the entire zone. just stick that in the gap to give you time to spawn, because like time spawn and capture the flag is like 7 seconds. It's kind of lengthy. Just give yourself enough time to spawn and at least get over there to try to prevent a cap going on. But not only do you screw up the artillery strike, they screwed up mortars, which mortars you can place 3 in a row, like back to back to back, wherever you want on the map. And they stuck them right next to each other and missed all of them. And like, it looked really cool. It looked very Hollywood. But
yeah, did anybody else think Michael Bay?
Like, yeah, oh my god, yeah. Dude. It was straight out of a Michael Bay movie. But that was not Clayster like doing some crazy play. He was running forward. That was all
for his life.
It was all literally. TK just screwing up the kill streaks.
It looks like they made up for it.
Oh well,
right.
I mean, yeah, of course. I'm giving them a hard time for that one play throughout the tournament. Also, I believe that might have actually been the same map or the same match against E United. It might have been back when they were playing Echo Fox, where Accuracy had like 3 or 4 team kills in one game. I believe he was the one, it might have been Theory, that screwed up like the easiest bomb in the world. He like hit the lip of an artillery gun on Gibraltar and it didn't kill the guy. Then they went to go try to take over the point because it was hard point. And then there was a TK or a team kill nade. It was like, oh, my God. Like, they don't want to win. They don't. They're trying everything they do to lose this match right now. But again, they did go on to win, which they had a lot of fan base in the arena. Actually kind of turned. It was really between like split between them and Optic Gaming. But Optic Gaming turned out.
I think it was just like Optic Gaming obviously being out at that point, you know, people might be rooting for the team that beat them or whatnot. But the day that we were on Saturday when we were watching them play, it felt like 95% of the crowd was for Optic. And there was like, maybe 2%, you know, if anything, like, for their opponents at that point.
Yeah, that's no matter where you go, that's always going to be the case in COD. They pretty much cornered the market on
We made the joke where basically if you saw anyone not in an Optic jersey and wearing any other team, there was a 90% chance that they were part of the team or organization because no one there is just wearing a Luminosity jersey.
Right.
Like, no one.
There were quite a few TK.
No, I mean, they had a booth there, though.
On our side.
Which helps.
The right side they were sitting on. They were in their little group.
Yeah, all the people from the booth
Optic,
went out and started cheering.
Optic
yeah.
Gaming and TK were the only ones with actual, like, real merch there. Envious had, like, a t-shirt.
The sweaters and stuff in the MLG store.
Let me tell you what. Call of Duty fans, okay? You need to step up your merch. Step up your merch game. Okay? Like, I'm a merch guy. Step it up.
I thought you were going to talk about the envious Jack in the Box.
No. Okay. If you want to get into that.
Okay. That is.
You know, so in previous episodes, we always make fun of the Dallas Jack in the Box sponsored by the Dallas Fuel Overwatch League team. Oh, my God. The envious.
All over again.
The actual envious jersey itself now has a Jack in the Box logo, and it is about an entire quarter of the top jersey. It's bigger than the team logo.
It's bigger than the actual logo.
It's ridiculous. Who designed that? Who signed off on that? That's rough. That is rough. Jack in the Box is taking over Team Envious. Before you know it, it's just going to be called Jack in the Box and not no longer.
The whole merch area in general was roughly, you know, pretty weak over there, I felt. It wasn't just like, I wanted to see, like, tons of like team gear from all the teams. Like, you know, at a CS tournament, you walk in and the first thing
it's
you see
everywhere.
Is a wall of jerseys and shirts and
hats.
For Tim, his tank tops and whatever else you're looking
just
for. So they have like everything.
Man, you give me a tank top, I'll be a fan of your team, okay?
These guys, it didn't like they had the stuff they had was like nice.
And I was kind of surprised too because like E United had no clothing there and their clothing. Provider for E United is Alta Esports, I think is what they're called, is the official name of them. And we actually met them. It's Alt Esports is what it is. ULT Esports. We actually met them at MLG Columbus at the MLG Major when they first started out. They're a good group of guys there, but they're official like clothing providers for them. And I was for sure expecting like a booth. Like you actually make some pretty decent looking clothing, and yet you don't have a booth. That's just, it's one of those little things.
Well,
there.
Luminosity being, you know, considered one of the top two teams going into this event, and you know, unfortunately they finished up what, 7th or 8th along with Envious. Didn't see any gear for them, and no. They're you know the second most hyped team going into this behind Optic.
It's one so thing
disappointing
that,
run for them in general, but still not
it's
to
one
have.
Thing though that Optic has always done right from the get go is marketing and letting people be a fan. Right, you have to allow me to be a fan. I want to be a fan. Now let me be one. Let me buy your shirt and lay claim. You know, plant your flag on my body.
Marketing.
Yeah, I just
that was. That was our biggest argument about Overwatch League, right? Like, okay, you want us to get into this. You want us to be fans. We're some merchandise. You announced this thing like a long time ago, you know? Yeah. So kind of the same deal.
It's just weird. Hey. That's just a little observation from the CWL in Dallas is the lack of merchandise or really lack of anything other than Optic going on. It was a little weird that there was just no, like all the other organizations just kind of let Optic shine over everything there. But getting back to the tournament, huge surprise to me, and you kind of felt the vibe when you were there, is Splice. So Splice being an EU team, I really think EU, from what I've gathered, is basically an afterthought in the Call of Duty scene. And man,
it's like the opposite of the Counter-Strike.
Yeah, right. It's the exact opposite where EU has kind of made the joke. And dude, Splice, their hard point on London Bridge, I wouldn't even touch it right now. They are so ridiculously good on that. You had Tommy, which is basically like the captain of the team. He was on point. Yeah. chill.
Hey, that's chill.
So They played awesome. They lost. They got second place. So them and TK actually have automatic top seed positions for MLG New Orleans. Bless you, Anuj. So that was a live sneeze. He couldn't even hold it in.
I know. No, I was trying to like put up my mic and I forgot it was a different mic that I was using. All got messed up. There. All
right. That's never happened in the 5 years of live broadcasting. I've never sneezed on air. So congratulations.
Thank you.
But they ended up, where was I? Splice and Caliber are automatically top seeds for MLG New Orleans coming up, or CWL New Orleans coming up, because there's literally not enough time between now and January to get enough pro-level points. Like, even if other teams won mini-tournaments or whatever in there, it's not possible. So they're going to go into New Orleans top seed, so that will be a boost for them. And I want to get into just our observations of the weekend, but I do want to talk about one other team and one other matchup here. So we did not stay till the end. All right, we're old. We work. Believe it or not, we don't make money from this podcast.
I watched it in bed, but yeah, I couldn't stay.
We had representation every day, though.
We did. We were there. We were there, but we did not have representation at 12:30 Monday morning. We did not.
No.
Brett and I left, we were there on Sunday and we left the convention center, I would say around like 7 o'clock, like maybe 6:45. Okay. We left right after, one of the semifinals game, wasn't it? I'm going to pull up the ladder and I can tell you exactly one it was.
It was,
Splice Phase and OG TK.
It was TK, no.
EU?
Was it OG?
Or is it? Oh, yeah, I think it was United. Optic versus Splice or TK versus E United. One of those semifinals. We watched the semifinals and left because I remember thinking, "All right, we just watched the semifinals. Man, this probably has another like hour or two. Let's just head out and catch the finals when we get home." Well, sure enough, I was not feeling well at all. Like I had a major headache. I get headaches at these events. I don't know if it's just being in a dark room all day. But I normally want to kill myself, so I normally don't stay till the end of these things. So I went home, had it on the TV, ended up falling asleep during all of the loser brackets and everything, not knowing this was going to take that long. Okay? But then, as I'm sleeping, not feeling well, I have a headache, I have a fever, it was like a soft little nudge from God just saying, "Tim, wake up, Tim." And I was like, "God, are you there? What is it, God? And he was like, Optic Gaming's about to be eliminated, and you need to see this. And I said,
I don't think that's how God works.
Thank you, God. And I woke up at the exact moment, like with a minute left, to see Optic Gaming get eliminated. And it was glorious. The TCR curse. They can't shake it. They can't shake it. Everyone knew it was going to happen. The TCR curse, for those who don't know, back like maybe a year and a half ago, early on in the life of the podcast, really, before Anuj and Brett were even on it, Optic Gaming came out with a book. I requested to interview someone from the organization. It didn't have to be Hex. It didn't have to be Nadeshot. It could have been like the janitor, for all I care. I just wanted to talk to someone when this book came out. And they were very friendly in emails until I gave them our listener numbers, which at the time were pretty abysmal, which is saying something because they're pretty bad now. And then nothing. They big-timed me. I wasn't good enough for them. And so from that moment on, I said, Optic Gaming, you will win the Call of Duty World Championships. But after that, no more. And so far, that's coming true. So
that's a terrible Christmas story.
It's like the little bee curse that he puts on all the basketball players, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is basically what this is for Optic. Although, I feel like me and Brett are like Optic. Not like fans in the sense that we like, or they are our team. But like, we like them, you know? I don't have any beef with Optic. So, Hex, if you want to like reach out and still like chat,
be the voice of reason.
Buddies, we man. Will like,
listen,
we will be.
I'm willing. I said the moment I get an apology, I will be the first in line to buy an OG shirt. All right, that's all.
A millionaire apologizes.
Just acknowledge I was.
Though, just in case, Hex, you hear this.
Just acknowledge.
You don't have to apologize. To
I was wrong.
We will still talk.
Okay, that's all I want. All I want is an apology. We'll hug it out, and we'll be best friends. That's all I'm saying.
How about his publicist?
It doesn't have to be from him.
Accept that?
It doesn't have to be from him. Either right. that, or I want the man who ignored my emails to be fired and
you know
blackballed
what is funny,
from the organization.
So, just on top of this, like to kind of go along with the Optic theme here, one of my buddies joined me, you know, on Saturday. His name is David, and he's like a first time into esports. You know, he hasn't really watched. He's played a lot of these games, but doesn't really follow esports.
Ending up loving it though.
Ended up totally loving it. This dude was texting me. Like during the finals, the TK and Splice finals, he's texting me like, oh my God, did you see what Accuracy just did? I'm like, no, dude, I'm sleeping. It's like 11 o'clock at night right now. He was like, I mean, so into it. And even now, he talks about it every day at work. He's been enjoying it. He wants to follow it. He wants to like go to New Orleans for the next CWL.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, road trip.
You know, and so like yeah. he just got like so into it. But it's funny because we were watching the Optic Envious match, and he noticed everybody going for Optic. This dude kept on standing up and clapping for Envious every time they made a play because he just couldn't stand the fact that everybody was like rooting for Optic.
And you know, that to be fair and to be honest, that's part of the reason too why I root against Optic. Not because I truly hate them, because it's whatever. I think, you know, whatever, right? Like, not coming on our podcast, that's pretty normal. Okay, they're not the first ones to say no, and they're not going to be the last. But I just enjoy being the one guy in the room cheering while everyone else is just so upset. I just like seeing other people miserable. Okay, that's really what it gets down to. Overall, awesome tournament, awesome play. Man, the comebacks, the stories, it was great. I was going to cry if Splice ended up resetting the brackets in the grand finals and it went even later than like 12:30 in the morning our time.
Yeah, I wasn't going to stay up for
that. No, that was rough. I ended up waking up, like I said, when Optic, and I kind of watched the rest of it from there.
Yeah.
But to give you an idea on the weekend, because if you followed it, okay, this was at the Dallas Convention Center, basically in the middle of downtown. It's kind of just down the street where Kennedy got through his head that the American people didn't want him. And
damn. Dude.
I'm on my way.
Trying to make a joke.
What? It's just down. It's down the street from where Kennedy was assassinated. That's all I'm saying.
Got it through his. Okay.
All
right. I see what you did
that's
there.
That's all. Just making an observation. Is it not down the street?
Very close to, yes.
Yes. And so I'm driving up there Friday after work. And if anyone has driven in the Dallas DFW Metroplex, like, it ain't easy. Like, there's traffic basically from 4 o'clock to about 7 or 8. It sucks.
Yep.
So I work about 30 minutes, 40 minutes away pretty much with the traffic. I'm on my way up there. I'm listening to the radio station I work at. And then they're also broadcasting from the convention center because there's a marathon that's getting ready to go on. And all of a sudden, I hear on the radio, the Dallas Convention Center is being evacuated for a bomb threat. I'm like, okay, all right. I mean, what? Okay, sure. How bad can it be? I'll still go and I'll park and I'll just wait it out. And then about
how bad could it be? Let me answer that for you real quick. It could have been an explosion.
It could have been.
Everybody could have been gone. It could have been really, really bad.
Who's going to call in a bomb threat? I don't think terrorists are going to let me know that there's a bomb there first. But apparently, like, there was two reports, which is why this one was taken so serious. There was a report that there was a suspicious-looking bag, and then they got the call of a bomb threat. So whether or not those had anything to do with each other, but they happened, like, pretty close to each other in time. So that's why they took it really serious. So they ended up clearing out the entire convention center. And keep in mind, Call of Duty was not the only thing going on this weekend. There was the Dallas Marathon, which is kind of a big deal, and a cheerleading competition, which seemed like a big deal. So there was three big things going on. So clearing this thing out was like no walk in the park. So about 30 minutes go by, and I'm like, all right, if this is a legit bomb threat, which I'm kind of keeping an eye on Twitter, which it was, I was like, I'm going home. I'm not going to wait it out. Who knows how if they're going to try to bomb sniff the entire convention center, that's going to take hours, which it did. It went to the point where they ended up canceling Friday.
Which caused the whole delay for like Sunday and pushed everything back till what felt like the middle of the night.
And
amazing job, though, overall to pull all that together.
Oh, my God. To cancel basically from 4:30 on Friday, which was supposed to go to like 10 o'clock. So they were like 6 hours behind schedule. And then push it into Saturday, which, by the way, Sunday also had a bomb threat. So Brett and I are sitting there Sunday watching the games. This was right after the TKEU game, right? Or right after?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was right after TKEU. Yeah, beat EU.
Yeah, because we got to see Pristini,
yeah.
Silly,
yeah, we hung out with
Arcity.
I'll say we hung out with
him right next to us.
Yeah, I'll say we hung out. No one knows the difference.
Right there. I mean, we're within
so
high distance.
We're sitting there after the game. Brett's like, "Hey, I'm gonna go get one of those G Fuel things. I want a G Fuel cup." Which Fazeberry, top notch. Okay. Fazeberry is
trying to work a sponsorship or something.
Bro, they sponsor everything else. Why not?
Yeah, no, right.
But no, that's actually the Fazeberry is quite delicious. But so as Brett is getting up there, Nuge, like he's at this point, he's probably near the booth. All of a sudden, all the lights turn on in the arena, and I'm like, oh no, like what's happening? Like this is not normal. And all of a sudden, you just start hearing the security guards yell. And Anuj, when I say yell, I mean like Benghazi strip yelling at us to get out of the building.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Like,
you want everyone to panic.
I'm talking Hillary Clinton has emails about this bomb threat yelling at us to get out of the building. And it was
everyone was just looking at him like,
like, bro, oh, chill. Man. This is like the second one this weekend, okay? And I'm
it really
like,
is insane, man.
I'm looking for Brett, and we end up finding each other. But even like everyone's walking out, and they're like, "Move, move, move! I know you're tired, but you gotta move. Get across the street." And then so everyone got across the street, and they were like, "Not there, not there!" And you're like, "Oh my God, where do you want me to go, dude? Where do you want me to go? And then so you go down the street, and they're like, "Don't you go there? You gotta go there!" And then it's like, "Oh my God, like, bro, like,
we're just gonna go hang
chill.
Out with the fake part."
All right, bro, you are an event security guard over a bomb threat, and I get it. You got to take it serious because as not serious as I was taking it, there was like the thought in the back of my mind, like, this could go at any moment. Like, I wasn't, at no point was I like scared, right?
But we weren't going to be the only ones running, Tim. Like, nobody else.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have like 1,000 or over 1,000 people trying to evacuate this. Well over, if you're including everything at the convention center, it was well over 1,000 people evacuating this building. And they're like promoting you stampeding out.
Did Brett even look back for you when he started running, or was he just gone?
Dude, he was gone. Gone.
No, dude, it was kind of... Okay, so...
Bro,
it's like
he was gone like when he goes to Chipotle for lunch and doesn't offer to get me any.
I don't know what? I run about that fast, Chipotle.
Yeah. No, it's like tornadoes. Like, Texans around tornadoes, like, we're ridiculously comfortable around them. It kind of felt like that during the bomb threat. It's like,
no.
All right. If we
to be fair, up, no. Me, the second there was the bomb threat, me and Brett did, like, immediately go to call each other because we were like, whatever. So we go outside, and basically everyone's hanging outside, and then we find ourselves, literally, Anuj, in a trifecta of famous professionals, okay? So you had... To our right, E United chilling. In front of us, you had FaZe, and to the left was TK. Literally, TK. All these three teams just standing around us. And then in the middle was TCR, an esports podcast. I mean, I really.
Give them our card.
Bro, they were looking at me, and I was like, God, come on, man, not right now. Please. All right, it's a bomb threat. Let's take this a little serious. All right.
Were you wearing your Cloud9 shirt?
No, I'm a professional. All right, sure. I don't wear that. I never take it off, dude. It's always under my clothes. No, so after about an hour, it was about an hour delay though. This time it was not nearly as long. You can definitely tell it did not take them long, or they did not take it as serious. But they let us back in. So, and from what I can tell, it was another bomb threat. They never really came out and said it one way or the other. I think they learned their lesson after Friday when they mentioned it was a bomb threat. Because that's probably going to be like the new funny thing now, right? That kids do.
The new swatting.
Hey, man, wouldn't it be fun if we did a federal offense that would make me a terrorist?
The rest of my life.
That sounds real fun to be on the terrorist watch list. Good job, kid. But no, I've but beside all of that, though, man. MLG,
you know this episode's flagged, right?
Bro,
the amount of times you said bomb, terrorist.
Is it gonna get us another listen?
Is it gonna get us at least one more?
FBI? Yeah, like, hit us up on Discord.
I'll have all of FBI and CIA listen. Bump up our numbers. With all that though being said, MLG handled it flawlessly. Like,
that was good.
You can't blame them for anything, because what are you gonna do? Not take a bomb threat serious? Yeah, okay, sure. Then they're going to be the organization.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. No way. But they handled it perfectly. Perfectly. I was really impressed with the way they kind of came back and just kept it going. Kept it going. No real delays after that. And it was great. They got the crowd kind of hyped up afterwards. It was good times were had by all. Definitely, I'll definitely go to another CWL event. Maybe New Orleans. Who knows? Probably not, but we'll see what's going on here. Did not mean to spend that much time on CWL, but man, it was a good time. It was a good tournament. And I want to let that be known. Into a tournament that I didn't get to watch a whole lot because I was out at the convention center most of the weekend. Anuj, I know you watched ESL Pro League, where it basically turned out to be the way we all thought it was going to happen, where it was SK and FaZe in the finals with SK... beating them handedly 3-1.
Yeah, I think we all predicted that.
Yeah, I don't think that was
the trendy pick.
Yeah, I mean, it's what else was going to happen there? SK is back in form to like early 2016 SK, where they are hands down like. You thought SK at first had the best like kind of streak in professional esports history, and now they're also like the second best streak. And there's you can make a case for either one being legit, but like this SK team is possibly the best Counter-Strike team we'll ever see.
It just gets me so sad to think about the major, because we're going to see all these teams, because of these roster lock rules, not look the same. And it takes away a lot from the major, in my opinion, because of that. It's just frustrating to see that, because these guys with Bolts on the team, I mean, man, they just look so dominant. And they really own FaZe. I say FaZe. They own Kerrigan. They're like 9-0 against Kerrigan, whether that was with Astralis or now over to FaZe, obviously. He just has his number, man. Like, Fallen just has his number. They can't figure out what to do against them, because talent-wise, I would still say, like, FaZe has more talent on their team from an individual standpoint. You have the best player in the world. You know, maybe you put him up against Colzera, but Nico has kind of proven, I feel, that he is belongs one or two. So, and then just going down the list from there. But, yeah, I mean, SK looked dominating, you know, won in dominating fashion. They just looked good in every map. I don't know if – did you watch Train? Did either of y'all watch the Train map?
No.
No.
It was probably the most incredible map I've seen in CS. I mean, it started off with like a 7-0 run, then from, you know, SK, then went on a, like an 11-0 run by FaZe. And then, you know, again, SK came back and these guys went into overtime. It was just, I mean, the game itself was play. Every round had a highlight. Every single round had a highlight. It was one of the better matches. So I'd recommend, you know, if you're a listener or either of you guys, you know, if you didn't get a chance to watch it at all, watch that map, because that was like the best, some of the best CS you'll have ever seen playing. I think one of the cool things in this tournament was seeing Misfits. You know, they advanced. We all talked about them last week, saying they had a little bit of the easier grouping with Hellraisers, but they came out 2-0 in that matchup against Hellraisers. And then obviously, you know, ran into SK at that point, but they were kind of an exciting team, you know, see moving forward there. And I think at the end of the day, this is kind of what everyone predicted, including all three of us. So wasn't any surprise there, but we ended up with really good Counter-Strike at the end.
Which is, I think everyone, that's what everyone wants. You mentioned the roster lock. It is weird that there has been such, like, Bolt has been on SK now for a reasonable amount of time. And it's even going to be like a whole month and almost 2 months more when you think of when the major rolls around. So it's going to be super weird when the major comes around and then he's no longer to play with them. You will see an entirely new team now in other CSGO news, where 100 Thieves, it's been rumored now for a while. Decay will let you know that. But 100 Thieves officially signs, for the most part, former Immortals. They signed Lucas, Henny, KNG, FNX, and Bit. So they will automatically earn a spot in the major. They're taking Immortals' spot. So can't be, I mean, you can't be happier for 100 Thieves, right? I mean, the struggles, the sweat, blood, and tears that 100 Thieves put into this.
So how does this make sense? Like, you got Bit, the new, you know, the new guy that's part of that Brazilian team, you know, that Brazilian scene right there. But you have like, you more to your point, you know, Bolts can't participate because he wasn't part of the, you know,
SK the previous qualifier or whatever.
Yeah, it's because of the qualifier. How does that work? Because so if you have to go through the qualifier, you have to go with the team that you're qualifying with. So in like Liquid's case, Steel wasn't there at the beginning of the qualifiers. Same thing with SK. It was Phelps that was, I guess.
But how does it? How does it work for 100 Thieves though? How does it work for 100 Thieves having someone that wasn't even part of like the major? You know,
is it because they moved organizations? I'd have to look that up. I actually don't know how that works. I'm guessing because it's an organization change. Yeah, versus just a player or roster move, technically.
So technically, I mean, SK could change names and then Bolts could.
Again, that's one I'd have to look up with that. I really don't know how that. I think it's because it's like an actual. Right.
It's been one of my beefs all along. The fact that, like, people are like, man, it's great to see 100 Thieves in there. Like, it's just that organization just deserves it. I'm like, how? They bought the roster. Like, what do you mean they deserve to be there? Like, how about Immortals, the organization that got screwed out of this?
Well, imagine some of these rosters that you're going to see that could potentially look different or will look different during the major, right? You'll have SK. Obviously, you'll have 100 Thieves. Now, when we'll get into this in a moment, but Liquid is technically now part of the major, so they will also be playing under a different roster. They won't have Steel on their team. Astralis, who might not have Device back by then, and they're saying that they're like working hard to get him healthy and whatnot, but if he's not playing, then Zonic would be in his place. There's even one more that I'm thinking of. You know, you have, oh, who was it? Peacemaker's old team. Ty Lue. He could be playing for Ty Lue in the major because of a visa issue. So you're going to have all these different teams with all these mixed rosters for the biggest event. I think that just hurts so much.
It is weird that Valve's shooting themselves
in the foot. It's Valve shooting themselves in the foot, you know, taking away what could be an awesome major that's not going to be as awesome without these good players playing with them. Like, have something like a two-player limit. Like, okay, two players. If you're minus two players from the roster you qualified with, we're cool. You still have the majority of your roster that you qualified with, and we're awesome. We're golden.
That's what it is. If you have three from the team, right? So the current rule is if you have three from your team, they hold
the players get the spot.
Hold that spot. So if they move, they carry that spot with them, which is what's happened in the Thieves' stand, you know, case. Three
but
of the players.
You can't have other people come in and play, though.
Which is it's. I agree, Brett. There's no right way to put it, and to where to me it makes sense or sounds fair. The fact that 100 Thieves can all of a sudden buy these players out, they're taking immortal spots, and then you have players that had no involvement to earning that spot at all. Like, Bit has nothing to do with why they should even be in the majors. We don't even know how this roster is going to have, like, just such a small amount of time underneath their belts before we get to the major, and now you're telling me that Steel and Bolts has to stay outside?
It takes away from the viewing experience, but now
which
let me
weird.
Say, you can't really blame 100 Thieves, because the Immortals guys, those were...
Well, I'm not, I mean, what...
And let me know,
the opportunity.
Those are the best... Yeah, but they're the four best players that are out there on the open CSGO market. Of course, you know, they want to build a team. They want to get into it. So,
they tapped
into
that Brazilian CSGO.
Them, but, yeah.
you get them on your side, you'll be good.
At the same time, it sucks. Yeah.
Now, on the bright side, though, because not only is the way roster qualifications and all that plays out, Valve was like, hey, guys, don't worry. We're going to reformat the way the major works a month before. So... we got
MBD.
This. Yeah, no big deal. We're just going to reformat how everything works a month before. Okay? Oh, and by the way, you know how we used to call things the major qualifiers and all that? No. We're not going to do that. All right? We're going to call each of these divisions something new. We're going to spice it up. Not only are we going to do that, we're going to bump the major up from 16 teams to 24. And we're going to give all of them stickers. So now, were you really wanting that, you know, 24th seed team stickers? Well, good luck.
Hey, Cloud9 is one of those stickers.
You can now get it. Bro, I'm not buying stickers until you make it to the actual major. All right? You can keep your qualifier stickers, all right? That's like,
I wonder if they'll change their pick-ems now.
That's like in baseball when... teams want to raise a wild card banner. Like, no. You made a one play-in game in the wild card. Like, you did not make the playoffs.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't mind the change. I mind the timing of the change. If this is the setup you want to go with, fine. Like, that's not a problem. Like, hey, you know what? I'm actually okay with more sticker choices. I think it's cool to have the variety instead of the same... pretty much the same grouping of teams
that
you see every time,
it's cool for the players when you think of that they get some of that kickback from that money.
Well, yeah,
right? So some of these
their money and autograph, like the team autograph.
So some of these organizations, like for example, say Ty Lue, right? That's a big Chinese team. Well, now you've opened up that entire Chinese market to buy those stickers, where before they maybe have never had a chance. So
yeah,
you,
I definitely. Like,
and
you have the player autograph money that goes to them too. Like they have those stickers for the player names on them and whatnot. So again, I don't have an issue with the change. The timing of the change is just really weird. I feel like they could have prepared for this a little bit better and made it even a bigger event, you know, like
it was just kind of announced. It was like a post on HLTV that just kind of showed up.
Well, yeah, but they're keeping the dates the same, right? So you're not going to have
like a week apart.
Yeah, you're not going to have all 24 of these teams kind of competing in one massive event, which I think would be awesome to see.
That's what they and maybe because the late change, right? Maybe they wanted their cake and eat it too. Maybe they wanted to make this change, but also not change anything at the end. Because right now, let's be real, all they did is they add stickers to every team now from the qualifier on and change the names of what we called them, right?
Yeah, because they're calling it a major with 24 teams now. But the way it's spread
it's
out,
set up the same exact
the main
way.
Event is still going to feel the exact same,
yeah.
Right?
Because we as viewers are not going to notice anything except for new
stickers.
Yeah,
the challenger stage is January 12th through the 15th. Right, so that's what we would consider mm-hmm. the major qualifier, and then you would have the legend stage, which is the 19th to 22nd, so a week later, and then you have the new what they would consider the championship stage, 26th through the 28th. So there's 2 weeks apart between where you will have seen some of these teams that were in the major that are no longer there. So I think they can, if they can get that right and make this a sort of a massive Dota 2 international, yeah.
Oh,
you know, kind of event. That would be great, but it's not set up that way.
So
let me know if I'm wrong. So just sticking with that three stage process, aren't they doing these in different cities too?
Well,
not just in Boston.
Yes,
right?
Yes and no. Well, yeah. So the first Leah, let me get into that because I'll answer that question here. So, like I said, there's still going to be three stages involved here, all right? So you have the what they're calling the new challenger stage, which was previously known as the major qualifier, okay? So that's where you saw teams as, like, Renegades, Tyloo, Liquid is in there this time around, Misfits, Envious, Space Soldiers. That's going to be what was called the qualifier is now the challenger stage, okay? That... And the legend stage, which is what they used to call the group stage, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the legend stage was the group stage, which is now called the legend stage, which is really confusing because you think, oh, so those must be the new legend teams. No.
Well, I kind of get like they're the teams that are fighting to be the legend, right?
I guess, but that's...
Still, whatever, I get it. I get what you're saying.
They could have named it something better, right?
Yeah.
So now those two, the Challenger and the Legend stage, are going to be played in Atlanta because that the E-League studio in Atlanta. Then they are going to what they are calling the new Champion stage, which is the Major. That's what everyone knows to be the Major is now called the Champion stage.
Which will also be, I guess all of these will be aired on TBS, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be E-League, so I'm sure majority of this you'll see. They haven't released a TV schedule yet, but that's going to be in Boston.
All right. So my thing, like, we applauded them, right, for when they announced this major, because they announced it in advance, right? Now they're going back and making all of the same mistakes that they made beforehand because they're not giving any of these teams time to get settled
in,
right?
Listen, Valve, if you announce it a year before but change it a month prior,
yeah,
it doesn't really count. I mean, on the bright side, though, like I said, ultimately there's not a whole lot of difference as long as you win, right? I mean, right now there's not a huge difference on how this is being handled. This is just more or less stickers. That's the big thing to take away from this is what is new for us? Stickers. That's it. Valve gets a little bit more cash in their pockets because they needed it. This is my
It's a win-win for everybody though, because people love buying that crap anyways.
Yeah.
So people.
I mean, I always tell every major I tell
choices.
Myself I'm not going to do it. I don't care about the stickers. I'm not going to do it.
But
and
you
then
always
I end up.
Do the pick-ems and then yes.
And now I'm going to be rocking Shazam and Misfit stickers on all of my items,
just
you know?
Everywhere.
It's just going down. It's kind of cool. They announced they announced that other piece where they're doing like the major series. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be doing like a docuseries, like 5-6 part docuseries or something. that'll be on TBS, where it's going to like allow you to get to know the superstar players. Yeah. And
they've done that with other things too. This is what I think though. If they're going to have this new, 20, if they're going to bill it as a 24 team major, right? And hopefully later on they do a true 24 team major news, like how you were saying, like why create these stages? Just call it what it is. It's a 24 team major. Let all these teams compete against each other, right?
Yeah, get it done in a week.
Why don't we just change it? Because 24 teams is a lot. One major a year, same time every year, like they do for Dota International, where it's a huge event celebrating the game. You're bringing 24 of the best teams in the world that have gone through, qualified for this, and now they're there in one arena to compete. Like, why is that so hard? Just to say one major a year. That takes things off of Valve's plates. It takes off of everyone's issues of, well, you schedule this at the most random times and everything like that. You know, just Valve runs it. Let's, like, just how they do the international for Dota.
I like the, I do think that'd be cool. Like, they should do maybe, like, one main event or something that they make it like a huge celebration.
Call it, I mean, and call it the major, right? You can call all the others minors or whatever the hell you want to call them, and then this is the major. You have the international in Dota, you have the major. I don't see, and you can market around that.
This don't really feel like it's going to happen.
It's not.
I feel like
no,
too
oh,
much
no,
money
no.
to
there
have
is,
multiple majors, so it keeps.
There's
like, a
no
lot of
way this is going to happen. But again,
the problem is
if they
don't plan in advance like they do in Dota.
I know.
Like
well,
said,
I know.
Dota,
it's ran by the
like
same company,
schedule.
But just two completely different belief systems.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
My fear, and this is why I bring this up, because before it used to be a big deal now to get to qualifiers and then qualify for the major, right? Like it was a big thing for your team to say they qualified for the major. But now if you're billing it as, hey, we're the 24th seed, boys, we made the major. Well, if you're having two or three of these a year, that's going to water down what that means. So you need to have a bigger stage for it, I guess, going forward. I don't know.
Yeah, and if you're going to do 24, maybe even increase, again, it's kind of the ESL issue that we've talked about, but increasing the number from different areas. Because do there really need to be two, like, Asia minor teams? Like, do they really deserve that spot? You're going to start getting into all these issues as mm-hmm. you...
Yeah, right, because they just lowered the bar is what they did to say that you made a major. So, I don't know. I would like to know what the Hive Mind was when they were in the boardroom kind of discussing their reasoning behind that. You know, was there an actual reason for the format, or was it really just like, guys, we can get more sticker money? Like, let's just do this. Why haven't we done this before?
NIP is probably shooting themselves right now.
I know. How does that, boys? How does that make you guys feel that not only do now 24 teams make it, NIP still didn't manage?
Pretty rough. Again, I feel like that's why you announced this earlier. Not to say that would have changed the outcome, but definitely puts a lot more on the line significantly earlier in the qualifier. Like the minors are now the majors. So
yeah. And maybe that's how. Maybe this will be a one-event year, and they will treat the minors. Because let's face it, the major sometimes... I mean, wasn't there only one major last year? Hmm? Am I crazy to think that? Was there only one major last year?
I had to look. Might have been. Might have been the one or two.
I think there was only one. But I don't know. We'll save that for another time. The only other thing that I have for Counter-Strike news is that ECS is starting their Season 4 finals in just a couple days on the 15th in Cancun, of all places. I've seen pictures on Twitter of the hotels.
Makes me want to go back. Last year, I love Cancun.
You think we can get media passes for that one?
Bro, if we do, let's go.
They said 100 Thieves is already there just to participate in viewing the event.
Really? To kind of just kind of pimp themselves out? A little.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100 Thieves. One note on them.
E-League and PGL last year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
for majors.
So that should be a good tournament. That one, as far as the teams competing in it, are a little bit more enticing. You got Fnatic, FaZe, Mouse Sports, Astralis, Cloud9, Optic Gaming, Team Liquid, and Luminosity. No SK. So take that for what
you're busy celebrating.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're too upset they're missing out on this one, though. But like you said earlier, Nuge, Device, again, not playing for Astralis. So that must be a pretty bad sickness or whatever he's got going there.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy we don't know a lot about that.
No. Diarrhea will always win. You can't.
Yeah. Watch out when you go to Cancun, guys.
You
don't
can't
get the
fight the diarrhea and devices.
Especially when
that.
You're playing Team Liquid.
Oh, gross. All right. So let's get into some e news. On that note, we basically talked everything for Counter-Strike. There's literally nothing else that we didn't talk about going on in the world of Counter-Strike. So just don't look it up. We are your official source. You did have the Capcom Cup 2017. That finished up. Normally we would spend an entire segment, but just too much went on over the weekend to go talking about it. You had Mena and, or Mana, however you want to say his name, beat Tokido in the finals. This was kind of a big deal, and it's kind of funny because in the scene of Street Fighter V, which is already so diverse in how people feel about the game, you have those people who love it, you have the people who hate it, and then you have the people who kind of just say they like it because they like Street Fighters and they feel like that's what they have to do. But they say it's a more of a button mash game, right? It's not as a technical sound Street Fighters as they've been in the past. And that's the only reason why Mana was able to beat a technical player like Tokido. Pretty insane, though, when you think about it, because he was 25th going into the event. And he actually was sent to the loser's bracket by Tokido and then beat him in the grand finals, resetting the brackets and everything. So say what you will, but you can't really take that away from him. He did it. In other e-news, we actually discussed this long time ago, but the NBA and 2K partnered up to do their league. Well, that's finally getting going, kind of like the Overwatch League did, where it's kind of trickling out that teams are announcing their names. Not really original names. You kind of have like the Mavs Gaming Club or Mavs Gaming. That's kind of revolving around it. Pistons, I think, were like Pistons Gaming Club. So, I mean, that's kind of what it is. But you do have your first sign of sponsorship. Cavs Legion GC, so Cavs Legion Gaming Club, I assume, is sponsored by none other than Hot Pockets.
Ooh. There you go.
When was the last time you guys had a Hot Pocket?
Oh, man. It's been a good 6 years.
Dude, it's got to be.
It's just, you can never get a Hot Pocket right. It's like molten lava on the outside. It's so cold on the inside.
And even then, you question, it's just, Hot Pockets was the cheapest food growing up. Let's face it. That was probably the one thing I probably should never have put in my body. But man.
Man, I had a lot of those in college.
Oh my God. Back in college, it was Hot Pockets and ramen noodles. Yeah, dude. They're a college food. Once you graduate, once I get a salary, I feel like that was one of the first things.
You become an adult.
Yeah, once I became an adult, I was like, maybe not. But they're
funny,
basically.
I have a buddy at work that eats them, like, I would say maybe 2 days.
Ugh. Was it David?
No, it's not. It's Chris, not, if you're listening, you should stop.
Just stop it. For your health. No, so they are the sponsors for the Cavs Legion team, basically going to be everywhere you look. They're going to be Hot Pockets on their jerseys. They're going to be the stadium sponsor. You're going to see signage in their virtual stadium in the game, just like you would in an actual stadium. You're going to see Hot Pockets all over the virtual stadium. So, you thought Jack in the Box was bad. Well, Cavs.
I would much rather have Jack the Box than
Please,
let's not even start this, okay?
we need
as bad as one another.
We need a bracket just like terrible.
Terrible sponsors. What would you rather have on your jersey, Jack in the Box or Hot Pockets? Let us know on Twitter at the Center Ring. Call in, folks.
Discord. Let us know.
Yeah, hit
us
up on Discord.
Give us your hot foods. your hot food points.
What is the worst, or maybe the best, depending on how you look at it, for the sponsorship? But that will
Red
be it.
Baron pizza is number three.
This episode is already long enough. We don't need to start the Jack in the Box sponsorship debate. All right, we know how that will end, and that's with Brett wrong and Anuj and I correct.
That will be in the salt mine at the end of the day.
Greasy.
That's just how it goes. That does it for this episode of The Center Ring. I hope you enjoyed it. I know we did. We had a lot of fun. Talking Call of Duty. Well, who would have thought that was ever going to happen? Episode 85. Let us know on Twitter what you thought. Hopefully, if you are in a Call of Duty, you enjoyed it. Hopefully, we didn't disappoint. If you are not in Call of Duty, I implore you to give it a shot, man. It's good times. The competition is there, all right? And it's an easy game to watch and pick up and know what's going on. Let us know, though, on Twitter, at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg, has all of our information there to follow us. Join the Discord. Everything you need to do there. We will be back next week at some point. I got family coming in town actually in like an hour, so we will see what's going on there. Anything else I'm missing? Our website, tcr.gg, our Twitter, at The Center Ring. I love you. For Brett, for Anuj, I'm Tim. Thank you for listening.